Excellent. All right. So welcome to everybody. We have for the last few weeks been looking at Chesed Mitzvahs. We looked 3 weeks ago at V'ahavta L'Recha Kamocha. And if you want, I can get you the sheets. If you want to get hold of the sheets, you can either email me or I can bring them along next time. That's not a problem. Yeah, you can, anything you like. The best way to get it is to send me an email, which I can give you my address at the end, and then I can send you the sheets, and I can even send you recordings of the Shiurim, because they're all recorded. And 3 weeks ago we did V'ahavta L'Recha Kamocha. 2 weeks ago we did the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim. Last week we did the mitzvah of Hachnasas Kala. And this week I would like to do the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. I'd like to do it quite comprehensively. We have a sheet here with 38 sources. We're going to deal with most of them, and let's see how far we get. Now, again, to recap, for those who weren't here, or for those who were here but forgot, or would like a bit of a chazara, the two mitzvahs that a person does when a person does chesed of all types, whether it's Hachnasas Orchim or Bikur Cholim or going to a Shiva Loilein or whatever it is, are the two mitzvahs that I've recapped in number one and number two. Number one, Mitzvahs Asa Shel Divrehim, and again, you've seen this source now with me three times, so I make sure you should know it by heart by now. Mitzvahs Asa Shel Divrehim, it's a positive mitzvah from the rabbis, and he gives the whole list, Levake Cholim, Lenacham Aveilim, Lehoitzi Hameis, etc., etc., etc. All of these specific chesed mitzvahs are rabbinic obligations. And he goes on at the end of the second line, it says, this is all chesed you do with yourself, which has a higher value and a higher status than chesed you do with your money. There is no limit, there is no actual sort of fixed limit to how, when you have to stop. And even though these are all rabbinic obligations, they are included in V'ahavta L'Recha Kamocha. That's the most important first point. Again, I've said the point before, forgive me if you heard it before last week from me and the week before, but the mitzvahs you're doing when you're doing chesed is V'ahavta L'Recha Kamocha, and the rabbis gave a structure of a number of specific obligations that they said a person has to do in order to help us to, if you like, connect with this mitzvah. According to the Torah mitzvah itself, it's up to us to do whatever chesed we feel like. The rabbis realized that we probably wouldn't feel like doing very much, just lying in bed and letting it all happen, and therefore they gave us a certain number of specific chiyuvim, but of course the Torah mitzvah continues beyond that, helping little old ladies across the road, etc., giving up your seat on the bus, da 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 da. Of course, giving up your seat on the bus for someone who is old or pregnant or whatever it is not the mitzvah of mipnei seva takum, even though Eged write on the bus mipnei seva takum, which is very sweet, and I'm very pleased they do. They've actually passed it wrong. That is not the mitzvah, because mipnei seva takum doesn't mean giving up your seat to help old people. It means standing up to honor old people, even when you don't need to stand up, but you're standing up specifically to honor them. In fact, ironically, probably on a bus, when it's not really possible to stand up in a normal situation, actually it's not possible to do the mitzvah of mipnei seva takum, because you can't stand up for people, you fall over. Giving your seat to an old person or a person who needs it is, of course, a Torah mitzvah, but it's V'ahavta L'Recha Kamocha, which is just as good, but it's not mipnei seva takum. So if you ever feel like writing to Eged, if you're feeling like you've got nothing to do for a morning, see if they get you the reply to you. Fine, so that's the first mitzvah. Number two, the second mitzvah, which again comes with all of these chesed mitzvahs, is the mitzvah of the halachta v'drachav. Look again briefly at the Gemara in Sota. V'amar Rabbi Chama, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Mai dichsiv achrei Hashem Elokeichem teilechu. It says you have to walk with Hashem. V'ki esha lo la'adam l'halech hachachshina. Can a person really walk with Hashem? V'haloi kvam ne'mar. Ki Hashem Elokecha eish oichalahu. Hashem is a burning fire. Hashem is not physical. How can you connect with Hashem? Ella, rather, there's a mitzvah to copy Hashem, and then it goes through a whole list. We saw it before. Look through the Chumash, look through the Tanakh, see the midas that Hashem displays to us. Of course, Hashem's not really composed of different midas. That's incorrect in terms of theology, but we feel different midas of Hashem. He comes to do different things, and therefore we have to copy that. And the classic example of Bikur Cholim is, of course, where? Avraham Avinu, in 2 weeks ago in the parasha, where Hashem appears to do Bikur Cholim. We'll see that soon. And therefore, that mitzvah is not Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. That mitzvah is a mitzvah between you and God, Bein Adam L'Makom, to make you, me, into a holy, godly person. And it comes alongside V'ahavta L'Recha Kamocha, if that's what your kavana is. As I said in the first year, if you go to do chesed and your kavana is both of these things, to help the person because they need help, but also to become more godly because you want to do that, you get two mitzvahs for the price of one. Two Torah mitzvahs for the price of one. Excuse me a second. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, shehakol nehyeh bivaro. Oh, that's very nice, thank you. I think I made the point at some stage, but it's worth making again. Most of the mitzvahs, Bein Adam L'Mokam, that you do, the ritual mitzvahs between man and God from morning till night, many, many of them are the Rabbonon. The davening that you do, and the brachas that you make, and the Shabbos that you keep, and the kashrus that you keep, a lot of those details are rabbinic details. On the other hand, most of the mitzvahs you do made anul chaveiro are all d'oraisa, and therefore not to be in any sense overlooked. And that's why the Vilna Gaon says the ikar avoda, the main work a person has to be doing in halacha in their life, is to get bein anul chaveiro right. And
it's very frightening because all the halachas that we learn in school and seminary are all.
Right. It's a mistake. There should be more focus made on these, both for the reason that then people might do them better, and also that they'll get a different understanding and appreciation of what Judaism is, rather than Judaism just being about lots of little details in Hilchos Shabbos, which of course are very important, but they're not really the main event. Yeah, and they will understand that the main event is about how people relate to people. There's a famous story, and it's famous. I've heard it. I don't know if that makes it famous. The Chofetz Chaim was approached by a guy who was a butcher in the town, and he said to him, I'm giving up being a butcher. And so the Chofetz Chaim said, oh, I'm very sorry to hear that. So, you know, why are you giving it up? And he says, well, it's such an achrayah, it's such a responsibility. You know, if I shech something wrong, if I kasher something wrong, think of all the mitzvahs and aveiras people are doing on my shoulders, I can't take that responsibility. So the Chofetz Chaim, that's wonderful. I really appreciate that you feel that way. That's very special of you. So what are you going to do? He says, I'll go into business. He goes, you go into business? So you stick to being a shochet. You go into business, think of the thousands of mitzvahs being out of the chaveiro, of stealing and cheating and this and that. You want to avoid aveiro, stick to being a shoychet. There's not much you can do wrong there. If you're in a business, he says, that's like a minefield. So, you know, perhaps that should be taught a little bit more. Now, let's get into specifically Bikur Cholim. The Gemara brings down a specific limud, a specific posik relating to Bikur Cholim itself. When Yisro is giving Moshe Rabbeinu advice as to how he should teach the Jewish people, of course Yisro is not Jewish, and he is giving him sort of moral, ethical advice, he says to him in number 3 the following. The son of Rabbi Yosef, Yisro says to Moshe, "V'his harata etem, you have to tell the people, et hachukim, et hatorot, all the laws, all the rules, v'hodat alahem es haderech, you'll show them the derech." What's the derech? So you can ask Esther's husband, okay? Yelchu va, the way that they should go, the et hamase, and the thing asher yasun, which they should do. What's Yisro alluding to? The way they should go and the thing they should do. So the posik here, the Gemara rather takes this posik apart. The hodata lahem, you should teach them zu beis chayechem. That's the zeh, sorry, beis chayehim, a way of making a living. Teach them how to make a living, because if you can't, people can't make parnosa, then they won't get anywhere. Es haderech, the derech, zu gimilus chasodim, that is chesed. Yelchu, which they should go, ze bikur cholim. So we learn bikur cholim, Yisro is referring to bikur cholim from the word yelchu, they should go. Ba, in it, the kvura, that's burying people, the etamas is the hadin, it's being fair and judgment, etc. Say yasu zulifni mishuras hadin. But what I'm more interested in doing is the word yelchu. Why is the word yelchu used as a reference for bikur cholim specifically? So if you look in the Marashai number 4, he says, va'amo yelchu zibakir cholim. Yelchu refers to bikur cholim. Why? The behach halichasai sham, just by going there, belechud alone, belishum matu, without doing anything else, Mekayma, that's the mitzvah. So he's already kind of opening up the whole sugya of Bikur Cholim. We see Bikur Cholim is really not about what you do as much when you're there, although we'll see there are details too. It's about the fact that you went. Just going, and of course they can't come to you. You have to go to them because they're sick. Therefore we see already the beginnings of an idea like this. In number 5, specifically the smack. I don't know if you've ever come across the smack. It's not so well known. The smack is the Sefer Mitzvahs HaKotan, which was a list of the 613 mitzvahs, one of the Balei HaTosfos. It goes alongside the smag, which is the Sefer Mitzvahs HaGodol, and a bunch of other mitzvahs, books which count the 613 mitzvahs. You're probably familiar with some of them, Sefer Chinuch, etc. He counts Bikur Cholim specifically as one of the 613 mitzvahs, mitzvah 47. He counts Levake Cholim. And therefore, you know, either it's included in Ve'ahavta L'Recha Kamocha or V'alachta B'rachav, or it's a separate mitzvah of the 613 mitzvahs. But there's no question that Bikur Cholim is a specific Torah mitzvah, and therefore we need to work out how to do it. Okay, that's by way of introduction. Let's get into the details. Look at number six. The Ramban, Nachmanides, in the Torah Ha'adam, goes through the elements of the mitzvah Bikur Cholim. Look what he says. Ushma'in mehacha, the Bikur Cholim, visiting the sick is kedei, is for the following purposes. Aleph. These are my Aleph, Bet, and Gimel, but they divided up. Sheyichabdoi v'yiratzoi lefanov, that you should sweep and clean in front of them. And do all the things that he needs physically in order to deal with his illness. That's the first point, and we'll see that today we are a bit less connected with this because people who are ill go to hospital. That's a modern idea, that people who are ill go to hospital. In the old days, until a few hundred years ago, people who were ill sat at home, and they were ill at home, and often they died at home. And if you wanted to do Bikur Cholim, you went to people's houses and visited them in their sick bed. Now, of course, when people go to hospital, people feel that there's nothing much they need to do for them physically. There are doctors and nurses running around them. But we'll see that's not entirely true. So the first element is physically just looking after them. Bet, v'yimsa nachas ruach im chaveru, to give the guy nachas ruach. And that means more of a psychological healing. The idea that someone cares, someone's made the effort. Gimel ve'oid kidei she'chaven dafa l'rachamim v'yivakesh alav. Then also that you have to pray for them. You have to daven for them. Three critical elements to Bikur Cholim. Physically, looking after what they need. Psychologically, supporting them and making them feel that there's someone that cares. And three, turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and davening that they should get better. On the last point, the Ramban brings a proof, Kidatanya, for Tamei Tamei Yikra. Who shouts Tamei Tamei? Who shouts Tamei Tamei? Who? Not Cohen? Who goes around shouting Tamei Tamei?
Someone who has
Saras. Someone who goes around with Saras has to shout, says the Pasuk, Tamei Tamei, wherever he goes. The Gemara here is interested in knowing why does he say it twice? That is because he's Jewish and he says everything twice. Kachavas, kachavas. Yeah? Shkoyach, shkoyach. Yeah? Why did he say Tamei, Tamei? To say Tamei. I heard the first time. So the Gemara says a very interesting thing. Tzarech l'chaydiyo yitzaro l'rabim. That the first Tamei is, I'm Tamei, stay away. Don't touch me, because if you touch me, you'll be Tamei. But the second is to tell how troubled he is to the public. V'rabim avakshim alav rachamim. So the people will daven for him. There's two Tameis. There's Tamei, I'm Tamei, don't touch me. And there's Tamei, I'm Tamei, please daven for me. Which is very, very interesting. Hilkacham avakes acholev aloi b'kish alav rachamim. Therefore, says the Ramban, if you go to visit someone who's sick and you don't daven for them, loi kiyam a mitzvah, you didn't do the mitzvah. The davening is a critical part, and we'll see how you do it and see what the halachas are, etc. Therefore, three elements, physical, psychological, and, if you like, spiritual, they're all part of it. Just on the physical side for a second, it's quite clear, even though people go to hospital today, that they still appreciate, even physically, a visit from people. In Israel, maybe it's a little bit easier. There are, you know, kosher food available, and there's this. But in Chutz La'aretz, often people don't have what to eat. It's also well known that people who are visited get treated better than people who are not visited, because the doctors and nurses, even subliminally, think that the people care about them. This is a real thing. And of course, if you happen to be a member of the British National Health Service system, then you'll know that physical treatment is not always what it's cracked up to be. And I always think it's very amusing when Americans come to Israel, they're always talking about how, you know, much better the health service is in America, and how can they possibly manage in Israel. When British people come to Israel, it's completely opposite. It's like, oh, it's amazing, the health service here. Because in Britain, you can't guarantee that anyone is physically looked after, unfortunately, just because they happen to be in hospital. I could tell you stories that make your hair curl, but not for now. But there is still a physical element to go see people, to see how they are, to see what they need. Have a look at number seven. The Gemara says, Rav Chelboi Chalash, Rav Chelboi got sick. And again, no one went to hospital in those days. He was at home. Nafach Achriz, Rav Kahana, Rav Chelbo Baish. So Rav Kahana made an announcement that Rav Chelbo was sick, like they do in shul, such and such is sick, would appreciate a visit. Loi ikad the kasi, and nobody bothered going, says the Gemara. Amar Lahu, so he said to them, what's going on? Don't you know the story? The importance of visiting people. The Talmid Echad. There was once a Talmid with Talmid Rabbi Akiva, of one of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim Shechala, who got sick. No one went to visit him. Nichnas Rabbi Akiva, the Rosh Hashiva, came Levakro to visit him. It's because Rabbi Akiva swept the house, like he opened the kitchen. You know what it's like sometimes? People are sick, they're lying in bed, the house is stuffy. You need to open the windows, you need to clean it. Rabbi Akiva did that. He swept the floor, he opened the windows, he put some fresh linen on, whatever it was. And the guy got better. Amale, he said to him afterwards, Rabbi, you brought me back to life just by coming. Yatsa Rabbi Kiva, the Darash Rabbi Kiva went out and darshaned and taught. Call me She'ein Ravake Chaylim, if you don't go visit the sick. Ki'ilu Shaytech Damim, it's as if you're killing people. Ki'atsa Ravdimi, Amar Ravdimi came and said, from Eretz Israel, Kalam Avake is a Chaylim Gorim Lo Sheyichye, if you visit the sick, you're causing them to get better. Because She'ein Ravake is a Chaylim Gorim Lo Sheyomos, and if you don't visit them, you're causing them to die. And the Gemara goes and debates this. It's not just, in other words, it's not just psychological. There is a strong, of course, when it comes to illness, the psychological, the psychosomatic and the physical are very strongly connected. People who are visited do actually physically often get better. And the Gemara is well aware of that. And therefore the physical side is absolutely critical and should definitely not be underrated, even when people have doctors and nurses running around them. The psychological side obviously is critical as well. We had a situation recently where one of our neighbours, unfortunately, he's very ill in hospital, he's on life support, he's not conscious of anything. But the family are there, so if you go visit him, he doesn't even know you visited him. We'll see soon another case of this. But the family do, and therefore there is also a psychological chizuk, which is part of the general mitzvah of Ve'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. Even if the sick person doesn't even know you're there, if other people know you're there, obviously there's that psychological benefit as well. And the spiritual, number 8, look at number 8, the Ramah brings down kol she'bika v'loy bikei sh'alav rachamim loy kiyam ha-mitzvah. If you go but you don't daven, you didn't do the mitzvah. Oh, so look right now. So look at what the Shulchan Aruch says. What are you supposed to be davening for? Number 9. Kishemavake shalav rachamim. When you daven for rachamim, for the person, how does that work? Im vakesh lefanov, if you're davening in front of the person, they're sitting there. Yochel levakesh b'chol loshon, you can use any form of words in any language that you like. And the idea is that you're basically saying to the person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send you for Shalema, you should feel better. That's what it means. It's not like a magic, you know, like a hirotsen, like you have to say to us. It's not a segula. The idea is you're davening because you're davening tefillah, and your person can hear you davening on their behalf to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Shechina is by the bed, as we'll see soon, and that's why you can daven in any language, because there is no idea just to daven in Hebrew when it comes to davening. However, says the Shulchan Aruch, the im vakesh shaloi b'fan, if you're davening back home, in your davening, lo yivakesh ela b'loshen hakodesh. You should only daven in loshen hakodesh, because there is no Shechina right there and then when you're davening back in Shemana Esrei back home. Therefore, there is this idea that somehow the Malachim are involved in the whole Tefillah process. I'm not going to get into exactly how that is, and therefore Hebrew is the appropriate language. And actually, we do find a fixed nusach, as I'm sure you're aware, in the Siddur, in the Shemona Esrei, yes, fixed Yehi Rosson, that says Yerushirape, etc., Rufuas HaNefesh, Rufuas HaGuf, and that is the tefillah that we put in the Shemona Esrei. Fine. And the last little point here, which I brought you in number 9, which is very interesting, people don't do this right. People often don't do this right. In Vav, Yichlol Oisoi B'Soi Chole Yisrael, when you ask someone if you daven for rachamim for somebody, you should always include in your tefillah all the other cholim. In other words, you shouldn't just say to someone Refuah Shleima. You should say to them, you should have a Refuah Shleima together with all other cholim, because then they get all the schus of everybody else as part of that. That's just not just a nice idea. It's actually a halach in Shulchan Aruch. What's that? Right, b'shach choli Yisrael is part of the halacha, and sheyoma he even brings a nusach. We don't tend to say this nusach. I'm not sure why. Hamokem yirachem alecha or alayich b'soy choli Yisrael. We don't do that. I think because it sounds a bit like the Shiva one. Yeah, hamokem yinachem eschem. But the truth is, if people said this, then people will be used to saying this. But I don't think anyone, I've never heard, have you ever heard anyone come up to someone saying, hamokem yirachem eschem, etc., b'soch shachol Yisrael? And I think they will probably get the wrong end of the stick and feel a bit unhappy about it. But the fact is, there's nothing magic in that. The idea is that you are wishing them for a shalema to their face, but you should include everybody else. You should say b'chol 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 b'chol
b'chol.
Yeah.
If you've gone to visit someone and you know, you've done the other two, like the physical and emotional, and then you say, I wish you were full of shlema, is that like you've done the davening part also, even though you could do more? But does that mean you still have the mitzvah? Kind of like, it still was the opponent?
At least in front of them, you should say something which is a tefillah, which is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send you a full shlema, but so shall Chol Yisrael, or something like that. That already is the davening part. What you do back home in your Shemona Esrei is like a separate thing. I mean, there are those people. There are people who are a little bit sort of unhappy with these sort of enormous lists of like people that you get. Like there's 100 names. Look, it's a wonderful thing. I'm not saying it's a terrible thing, God forbid. But if at the end of the day you don't even know who these people are, it's very hard to have a kind of meaningful tefillah. Sometimes you really know who people are and you really daven properly for them. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's not really. It's really difficult to connect that with tefillah.
And do they need to be able to hear you say this?
No, no. When you're davening on your way, when you're with them, yeah, sure.
No, good. He's right there in consciousness.
Ah, no. Then the tefillah is fine. But if they're conscious, then you have the added element of the chizuk, which is the second element, which is psychological, which is very critical.
What happens if you're davening like I'm davening for the boys who are in the Japanese prison?
Why is that?
So I don't, but I can't do anything for them if I've gone.
Well, that's what you can do. That's all you can do.
I know that they're ill. I know that they're.
That's all you can do. You can't do all three. So you'll do one out of three.
But that's also part of the mitzvah.
Definitely. That's an ikka part of the mitzvah.
Right. You can get a mitzvah and be part of the mitzvah, not a whole mitzvah. You can get a mitzvah. But I'm saying it counts as doing the mitzvah.
Absolutely. Okay. V'ahavta, it says, someone who doesn't daven for someone else, you know, I'll tell you a funny story. It wasn't really very funny. But I was in yeshiva once when I was much younger. And I was using my, I was going through a very kind of, religious phase and spending all my lunch hours learning as well, okay, rather than eating lunch. So anyway, I was learning in my lunch hour, and I really wanted to finish this masechta. I was learning a brachas, I think. I don't remember what it was, a yivamis. And somebody came in the base of marriage and said, we're having a tehillim. So it's not just women, you see, men do this too. We're having tehillim upstairs for someone who's sick. Will you join us? And I said to him, no, I've really got to finish this daf. I really want to finish this daf because I've set myself a target. I'm sorry, you know, hatzlocha rabba. Anyway, so I turned to where I was in the daf, and the next line on that Gemara was someone who could daven for somebody else and doesn't daven for them. It's as if they this and that and the other. So I just shut the Gemara and ran upstairs. like the next line, you know. Sometimes you feel as though you're being given a message. Anyway. Number 10, which is well known, I think, but this is actually it's halacha, not just a skula, says the Rama, Yeshem Shemisha Yeshla Choyla Bebeta. If you have an ill person in your family, Yelech Etel Chochem, you should go to a Godel, a Chochem, Shebeir in the city, Shevakish Alavrachim, so that they should daven for the person. There is clearly an idea that we go to great people who have a schus which is greater than ours, and we ask them to daven for people that we love. This is part of the halacha as well, and people tend to do that quite a lot. V'chein nagu levarech cholim bebeisah knesses, that's part of the minhag of davening for the people in public in shul, of making a misha beirach. Also, likra lahem shem chadosh, giving people a new name. This usually is only done when people are really very sick, but many people get new names and live for 20, 30 years. Which was it work? If you're asking me, does everyone who ever gets a new name survive? The answer is obviously not. But the question is, what is part of the tshuva process? If you look in the Rambam Mehilchos Tshuva, he says the idea of tshuva is to try and adopt in a real way, not in a pretend way, almost a new kind of personality. That I'm not the same person.
But it's like a
there is an idea of mazel, and often they are conscious. Often they are conscious, and the consciousness will obviously help, which is the feeling that they're making a new start, and it's a way to assist them in doing tshuva. Obviously, if they're unconscious and you're giving them a name, then you're working on a level which is like metaphysical rather than conscious. But the conscious should not be overlooked, and someone who gets a new name could feel a sense of new beginning, and that itself could cause them to kind of perk up and feel a sense of hope, and therefore that's definitely part of the mitzvah. Fine. And he says at the end, what you just said now, Kishinui Hashem Korea Gzardinoi, a new name can rip up the old Gzardin and start afresh. Now, let's look at some of the interesting halachas of, we talked about davening, we talked about psychological aspects, being with the Chol. Look at number 11. Vayere Elav Hashem Be'eloni Mamre, Hashem appears to Avram in Eloni Mamre, and Rashi famously said in number 12, Levaker Es HaChole. How do you know? How do you know this was Bikur Cholim? Where did Chazal get that from? God appeared to Avram. So God appears a million times in the Tanakh. We never turn around and say, well, he came to do Bikur Cholim. So there are a few clues. Number one, Avram had just done a Bris Milah. That's a bit of a giveaway, okay? Number two, Hashem didn't say anything. And that's a point in the text, in the pshat, which you may have missed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avram and says nothing. What is the purpose of HaKadosh Baruch Hu appearing to someone and then not communicating? The purpose of connecting with Hashem is to have a communication. The fact that he didn't communicate anything, Chazal understood, that's Bikur Cholim. Because when you go to visit a sick person, you don't have to say anything. And that's the first important halacha, that you don't have to. Sometimes people feel awkward. What are they going to say? I mean, also if you're visiting someone who, God forbid, is in like a really bad state, what can you say? I hope you get better soon. Like, it kind of sounds a little bit hollow if they're in a state of terminal illness. But what you can do is just be there. And that's the point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had nothing to say so much to Avram. He just wanted to be there to show I'm here. And therefore, that's the first important halacha. Being there, as I said, Yelchu in the Pasuk at the beginning, just going there is the mitzvah. Number 13, it asks, what happens if you can't actually get there? The Gemara says, what happens if you can't physically get to someone? So the Gemara says, Halachalahu, if the person who you can get to is ill, Nichnas Lavakro, you should go and visit them. Chalabanoi, let's say their son is ill. Shoyaloi Bashuk, you can at least ask about them in the market. What does that mean? Calling someone up. Today the equivalent would be picking up the telephone. In other words, the Gemara understands that the mitzvah of Bikur, what does the word Bikur mean? What's Bikoret? It doesn't really mean a visit. Bikoret, okay, Bikoret means a criticism, or it means analysis, okay? Bikur Cholim is not just visiting physically the sick, it's checking into and looking into and taking interest in people who are sick. That's what the word bikur really means. The word like literary criticism, we talk about bikoret, anikra, and that kind of thing. So that's important. And therefore, clearly, if the only way you can do the mitzvah is someone sick in Los Angeles, obviously no one expects you to get on a plane and travel 3,000 miles to get to them, but to pick up a phone you can do. On the other hand, if someone's sick next door, then picking up the phone is not the right way to do bikur cholim. Therefore, it's important to understand that Gemara already addresses this, that sometimes you don't have to visit if it's not feasible to visit. You can pick up the phone, you can ask after them, you can inquire, send them an email, whatever it is. 14, very interesting halacha. Mavakeres acholis a shulchan aruch. Someone who does bikur cholim loy yeshev al gabi mita. You shouldn't sit on the bed with them. Veloy al gabi kisa. You shouldn't sit on a chair. Veloy al gabi safsal. You shouldn't sit on a bench. This is talking about a sick person who's lying on the floor. You shouldn't be sitting higher than the person who is sick. Elamit ativ yoshev afanu. You should sit down in front of them. She'ashchina lamala mirashoysa. Because the shchina is resting by their heads. We have this understanding that a sick person is like this, their neshama and their gufa, if you like, detaching to some degree. That's one of the issues of being sick. You feel that your neshama and your guf are disconnecting, which is depressing on one level. That's why people who are sick are down usually. But the consequence of that is that they have much perhaps a higher level of connection with the Shekhinah at that particular moment. Therefore, we recognize that by not sitting on the same level. Obviously, if they're lying in a bed, the Ramah brings down at the end here. That's when the chol is on the ground. You can't sit above them. If they're lying on a bed, certainly you can sit on a chair next to the bed, but still one shouldn't sit on the bed. That is against the halacha.
Somebody
who feels that they're ill enough that they can't get up and walk around. In halacha, there are three.
You have ill, you have injury.
There are three, basically, in many areas of halacha, there are three categories of illness. There's someone who's called a michush ba'alma, someone who's just got a discomfort. These people are not called a chayla. I'm talking about someone who's got a cold, a cough, someone who's you know feeling, we've got a bit of a chill, whatever it is. That's not called a michush ba'alma, like a sore foot, blisters, you know, ulcer mouth, whatever it is. They don't feel good, so they need to be treated in some way, but they're not an ill person. And on Shabbos, the halacha on Shabbos is very often there's not much you can do in Hilchos Shabbos to treat that kind of thing. You have to sort of grin and bear it, and you'll be fine. After Shabbos, you'll take an akamol or whatever. Then there's a level of a chayla, not someone who's lacking sleep, but a chayla. A chayla generally means someone who is ill to the point that they cannot function normally anymore. They're not going to die, we don't think, but they can't function, they can't walk. They hurt so badly they can't actually walk, or they can't speak, they can't hear properly, they can't think because they've got a migraine. Someone with flu, someone with a temperature, like a fever, somebody with a bad migraine, somebody who's broken a limb so that they can't get around. This is someone who's called a choleh. And that's who we're talking about here. And on Shabbos, there's many things that you can do for such a person. There are halachas in Shabbos. You can ask a non-Jew to help them. You can sometimes do dini d'rabbanon, things which is surei d'rabbanon for them to help them. And then, of course, there's a level which is somebody who is a besakonis nefoshis, who is in a life-threatening situation, which obviously is a stage even higher than that. But we're really talking mostly about the middle
stage. Addressing by even someone who, like...
It's a good question. I think so. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure.
Your soul, if you,
if someone's got a temperature of 103, they might not be going to die, but they feel pretty wretched.
I don't know, I have a question. We've got, when I have kids, if they're sick in bed and they, can't get up, I'm going to want to get in bed with them and,
That's a good question. I don't think this is suggesting that that if it's going to be detrimental to the process of making them better, that you cannot, that this is that. This is a very important point you're making. Mitzvahs bein adam lechaveiro, and Rav Berkowitz talks about this, are not chukim.
Mm-hmm.
They're not rules like hilchas kashrus. Like in hilchas kashrus, if you drop your fleishiks and your milchiks, it doesn't matter who you are, how you feel, what the weather is. if it's a 60th, then this. If it's less than a 60th, then this. There are rules. And if the Rambam was, teaching Hilchos Kashrus in Orpanina, so he teaches exactly like he taught in Fostat in the 1100s. What's the difference? Bein Adam L'Chaveiro doesn't work that way. Bein Adam L'Chaveiro are not chukim, they're mishpatim. Mishpatim means they are not things that just are given. They're things that have to be applied in a sensitive and sensible way. Now, yes, there is a halacha that we have an idea that the Shechina is with a sick person. And I have no reason to doubt that applies to a kid as well. And I don't think that only applies to someone who's going to die either. On the other hand, if you not getting into bed with a kid will make the kid worse, will make the kid not get better, I don't think for one minute this is suggesting that there's some kind of halachic issa to sit on the bed. And if I sit on the bed, I've done it. The idea is a sense of respect for the person, the shechina, da-da-da-da-da. But if they're, I'm speculating, but I there's absolutely no reason that I would think that one shouldn't get in bed with your kids, and that's definitely what a kid needs. It's what a grown-up needs as well sometimes. But there's a certain amount of seichel. There's a Maharal that talks about kibud av ha'em. Kibud av ha'em is your classic mishpat. It's the opposite of a chayk. The Gemara Yerushalmi goes as far as to say that there are people who can think they're doing kibud av ha'em, but they're going to Gehenna because they're not doing it with seichel. And the Maharal says that's what a mishpat is. You have to have seichel. You have to use your brain. You can't just come to it with a set of givens, of rules, and then think that you're doing it. That doesn't mean it's a free for all, but that means you have. And this is actually a very good example. Let's turn to page 3, and we'll see an interesting example of that. The halacha brings down that there are visiting times for sick people. Number 15. Says the halacha, you mustn't go in the first 3 hours of the day. People feel better in the morning. It's true, people do feel better in the morning. And you won't bother davening. Because you'll go, you'll say, I don't know what all the fuss is about. It looked alright to me. And you don't go, says the Shulchan Aruch, in the last part of the day, the last 3 hours, shal yom. She adds machmir alav chayla, because then they're feeling so awful. You won't bother davening for them because you'll say there's no point. In other words, very interesting. The psychology of the visitor as well as the psychology of the sick person. So the Shulchan Aruch understands that the beginning and the end of the day are not representative of the person's illness. Therefore, you should go in the middle of the day. Because what is this? Is this like a halacha? This is like a fixed thing. I mustn't go. I'm looking at my watch. In 15 minutes, it'll be the end of the first 3 hours of the day. I can go. Now, maybe you could read it like that. The Rambam understands a different reason. Number 16. Don't go at the beginning of the end of the day, says the Rambam. Much more practical reason, because people are busy looking after the chayla. You go to the hospital in the morning, you get up, you have to have a bath, you have to do this, and in the evening you have to have this. So just don't go visiting people when they don't appreciate the visit because people are busy looking after them. So you put these two reasons together and you basically use your common sense. Go to visit a person. In fact, the Aruch HaShulchan number 17 says, Ein ze issa. This is not coming as an issa. Ela eitza ba'almit. It's coming as an eitza. Which is very interesting because when do you ever open the Shulchan Aruch, read a halacha and say, well, this is just good advice. don't mix milchiks and fleishes. Well, that's just a good advice. But no, it's not good advice. It's halacha. The answer is, we see already from this Aruch HaShulchan, when it comes to some of these issues, the halacha is not just trying to tell you what to do, it's trying to sensitize us to the kind of seichel that we need when we're doing these mitzvahs. Not everybody has seichel. Common sense is not all that common, unfortunately. And therefore it's saying, think about how they feel, think about whether they're going to be ready to receive you, whether you're going to get a good understanding of their illness, whether people are looking after them, etc. In the old days, when I was a kid, I was in hospital, I had my appendix out, they had very strict visiting hours. I think they've given up on all that. I don't know about Israel. I don't think they have visiting hours. I mean, I've never been turned away from Sharon Sedek by anyone saying, you can't come, it's not visiting hours. I suppose maybe if you're going to intensive care or something,
there's
different walls. But generally speaking, it's pretty much a free-for-all these days. In England, it used to be like, you know, between this time and this time, otherwise the nurses will throw you out. Fine. I remember when I was a kid, I had my appendix out, and my mother managed to persuade the ward to let her sit with me most of the day. And that meant a lot to me, I remember as a kid, because I was 9 years old. I was obviously a bit kind of whingy and upset. And having my mum there made a very big difference to me. And if they'd said she couldn't visit, it would have been a big problem. Okay, number 18. This is a very interesting halacha. Mitzvah levakeh choylim hakrovi v'hachaveirim nichnasim miyad. People who are friends and relatives should go immediately when someone gets sick. But people who are not so close, should go only after 3 days. But if a person becomes very seriously ill quickly, everyone should feel free to go immediately. Why? What is the problem if you're not so close to someone to go and visit them too soon? So the Bach explains very interestingly, being number 19, he says that if you go too quickly, if you overreact and go too quickly, you're almost giving them a din of a choyla. Like if you just get on a plane and you rush to see them, you're going to make them worse, not better. Because they're thinking, oh my goodness, they've come to see me, I must be really bad. And you could even affect the mazel in that sense. So it's very interesting, this halacha again is sensitizing us to not to overreact. We've got this at the moment. Unfortunately, my mother-in-law is not well. But she's not sort of seriously unwell, but she's had a fever for a long time. And my wife's saying, like, she got on a plane, she should go and see her. She lives in England. Obviously, we live here. And her uncle, who's a rabbi, was saying, no, don't get on a plane. It's the wrong thing to do. Sends out all the wrong messages because it makes her feel that she's worse than she really is. And sometimes the right thing to do is, like, not to go visit somebody too quickly. It's very interesting, the halacha seems to be trying to say that. Of course, family and friends who would often go, there's no problem going because then that doesn't look unusual. Now, some interesting halachas. Who's included in this mitzvah? Look at number 20. What about people who have certain illnesses? Says the Shulchan Aruch, number 20. Ein mevakrim lo lechoyli me'ayin. Don't go visit people who've got stomach complaints, says the Shulchan Aruch. Why not? Because they're running in and out of the bathroom. It's quite simple. And they don't want you to go. But lo lechoyli ha'ayin. Don't go visit people who've got migraines. Eyes, the pains in the eyes. Why? Because they can't take visitors. Who needs visitors when you've got a migraine? You just need to be left alone in a dark room. Right? But lo lechoyli ha'rosh. And people who have headaches. In other words, again, the Shulchan Aruch is not giving you a psak, which is it has a din of a stomachache. Therefore you can't. It's saying, think about the illness the person has. If they have something you wouldn't want people to visit you, then don't go. Again, kol ha'chole the taki of loy ba'ad alma, and similarly, anyone who is too troubled, the kashalei biburin, it's hard for them to speak. Emavakim aso b'fanim, you shouldn't go visit them directly. Because what can you do? You can still do the mitzvah. Ella nichnasim b'bayis achitzoin, you should go visit them, maybe not directly. Go to the outer area. V'shoyelim v'darishin boy, ask after them. In srichim l'chabed or rabbis l'fan, do they need people to help? But there's more to this mitzvah than just going and speaking to the person. We saw the beginning. Do they need help? Do they need food? Do they need people to clean? K'yotzeba. V'shoyelim tsaru, listen to what they have to say. M'vakshim alavrachim, you can daven for them. In other words, even if there's one or more elements of this mitzvah you can't do, there are other elements that you can do. Someone who is not ready to take visitors can still have someone daven for them, etc. Interesting halacha number 21. Afilu gadol yelech levaker akotin. Even if you're a big choshev of somebody, there's nobody that's too small for you to visit, and there's nobody that's too big, too important to visit other people. We saw Rabbi Akiva went to visit his talmidim. Afilu kama pamim bayom, even many times a day. Afilu ben gilo, even your ben gilo, we'll see who that is in a minute. The more you go and visit people, the better. As long as it's not bad for them, obviously. You're not doing it to get mitzvahs. You're doing it to help them get better. But again, don't think that even a kid, whatever, people go, all this hospital clowning business that seems to have been very, like suddenly become, you're almost like people go and get an MA in hospital clowning. And they're advertising on the buses, do a course in hospital clowning. This is all a massive mitzvah. It's a big mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. They're doing things, they're visiting kids, etc., etc. Soine, number 22. What happens if it's someone you hate that's in hospital? Very interesting halacha. Someone that you really can't bear, that hates you and you hate them. Says the halacha, Yesh omen desayne yochalei lechavakachala. There is one opinion, brings the Ramah, that you should go visit people that you don't like when they're sick in hospital. But loy nirelech, he says, I'm not sure, I don't like it, he says. Eloy vakachala, better you shouldn't go. But loy yenachem ha'avil shelo husayne, and better you shouldn't go to a shiva either, to someone that you hate. Sheloy achshev shesameach le'eda, that people won't think that you're gloating over them. Unfortunately, people think this way sometimes. And actually, you'll only make it worse for chay nirali. The truth is, this is not a chuk, it's a mishpat. And if you look for a second at the Aruch HaShulchan, in number 23, he says, Mi'ar kol lefi masha hi hasina, or lefi masha he masayin. Everything depends on the case, he says. V'chein im asayin isho leach lo mikodim, if the person sends a message in advance, she wrote to Levakru, I'd like to come and visit you, or lenachama, or to come to the shiva, but who knows in the rishon, they say okay, mutzah, then of course it's okay. The adrab, on the contrary, mitzad zeh, nase shalom beinayim, you can actually make shalom. But he says, you can't take it for granted that turning up at someone's hospital bed is going to make shalom. It might make it worse. It's an interesting insight into people's characters.
You know, you should probably daven for them then.
You should certainly daven for them, there's no question about it. And you should, he says, see if you feel this is an opportunity to make shalom. If it is, great. If it's not, stay away. Which is interesting. I know situations where brothers have not spoken to each other the entire lives, and even when the mother dies or things like that, they still know, it was no shalom was ever made, and it would have made life worse to even go to the funeral and all that kind of stuff. It depends, you know, families are sometimes a bit weird, and broigus is something that sometimes, unfortunately, affects people. You have to use your seichel, says the Aruch HaShulchan, and try and make shalom where you can and not where you can't. Now, what's this ben gilo? The Gemara there said even someone who's a ben gilo should still go visit someone. This raises a very interesting question. It says number 24, Yelchu. We saw this word Yelchu in the Pasuk. It's an indicator you should go visit people. Zebekur Choy. Says the Gemara, Hainu Gimel Chasadim. Why does that not include it in the normal mitzvah of Chesed? Says the Gemara, Loi Nitzvah Elele Ben Gilo. Someone who's a Ben Gilo might have said, I'm exempt from Chesed. Why? Because the Amamar Ben Gilo Noitel Echad Meshishim B'Chalya. If you're a Ben Gilo, we'll define this in a minute, you take away from them a little bit of their illness with you. In other words, you can pick up a bit of their illness. And nevertheless, you still have to go. In other words, you don't have to do chesed where you're going to get poor from the chesed. We said that at the very beginning. But you do have to go visit people, says the Gemara, even though you might take away a little bit of their sickness. Now, what does that mean? So, there are those who understand it in a more spiritual way. Look at number 25, says the Ram, Ben Gilo, Shenoilad Hamavake Bemazloi Shel Chayla. You were born under the same mazal as the person who's sick. And therefore, there's understanding that you go see them, there's more likelihood that you're going to get sick. Now, I'm not going to get into exactly whether we hold by mazal or don't hold by mazal, what is mazal, what isn't mazal. There are different approaches as to whether we do believe in mazal, don't believe in mazal, etc. Rashi gives a little bit more of a physical reason. Shinoila beperik echod or mazal echod. You're the same kind of age. You're the same kind of age as this person. Some illnesses affect people of the same age more. The question this really raises is, do you have to go visit people who are infectious? Which is a very interesting question. Or if you're a doctor, do you have to treat people who are infectious? So the Mishnah Berurah brings down in Hilchos Shabbos, Mikol Mokum number 27, Im Yesh Sakona Lahamatzil. If someone needs to be saved, if you're going to dive in and save someone in a lake, and you might drown in the process, Einu Mechuyev. There's no Chiyev to do that. The Chayav Koidim Lachay Chaveru. Your life comes before your friend's life. Afilu Sofek Sakona. Even if you're not sure whether you're going to be in danger, nami adaf sveiko didei mi vadai de chaveru. Even if you may become in danger, and they're definitely going to die if you don't help them, you still don't have to get involved. Ulam, however, says Mr. Brewer, tsarech lishkola dvarim heitev. You have to weigh this very carefully. In yesh basofik sakona, if there's a question, a doubt, v'lo yedakdek biyoti, you can't afford to be too careful We saw that when we came to Chesed. If you're constantly saying, I'm going to make myself poor, I'm going to make myself poor, it's not, I can't do it. If you're too quick to say that, then you're not going to do any Chesed. Therefore, you have this very interesting sort of scale as to when you do and when you don't visit people. I brought you can read in your own time, I'm not going to go through it now, the Titz Eliezer. He himself was the Posek for Shaarei Tzedek Hospital for many years. He has a whole analysis as to when you can, when you should, and when you shouldn't go visit people who are infectious. He brings various different sources. He brings a Radvaz, who says that someone who goes to visit people and they're really dangerously infectious, that they're called, not only did they not do a mitzvah, but they're called a chosid shoter. There is this concept of a chosid shoter, someone who is sort of inappropriately pious. Yeah, usually the example given of chosid shoter is that it's sort of a man who won't jump in a lake to save a woman because he doesn't touch women, because he won't touch women and therefore he lets her drown. Or someone who is such a big chosid that they don't look at people and they kind of walk around and they smack their head against the door because they won't look where they're going. Here's an interesting example of a chosid shoter, someone who wants to go and visit people in hospital when they may get sick. And they may get life-threateningly sick. The question is, says the Eliezer, though, it's difficult because there are other sources that seem to indicate, no, you should go because there's a schus for a mitzvah, and if you go, the mitzvah will protect you, and he brings that there are many people who went to visit, very people who were very sick and they didn't get sick. There are many famous accounts. Rabbi Ari Levin used to be called the rabbi for the lepers. You can speak to his grandson, Rabbi Binyamin, who's down here. Rabbi Ari Levin used to go to visit, there used to be a leper colony in Yerushalayim, roughly where the Jerusalem Theatre is today. Just down there in Talbiyah, you know where I'm talking about? Down near the Inbal Hotel. There used to be a leper colony. We don't go for those kind of things anymore. And it used to be full of lepers. Arabs, Jews, I'm going back 40, 50 years. No one will go and visit them because nobody wants to, you know, sit in a group of people who have got leprosy. Even though actually leprosy is not such a contagious disease, nevertheless, it's such a horrible disease. Nobody wants to take the chance. Rabbi Ari Levin will go. He'll go.
Also, 40, 50 years ago, nobody really understood what contagious meant. How contagious are you? Like now, they know if you're 48 hours after antibiotics, you're not contagious.
We know more now.
We know much more. Like
we do know much more, but there's still plenty we don't know, and still plenty, you know.
And we think we know, we know.
Yeah, I mean.
That's
right. There's a lot of trial and error when it comes to diagnosing people. You know, it's. I mean, if you've got strep, it's easy. They do a test. You've got strep. You take this. But lots of people have got things the doctors really don't know what they are. I mean, I've had this in my own family. You go to the doctors and they say, well, it could be this, it could be that, try this, and try a bit of that, and try a bit of this. And you realise this idea that doctors have some kind of, you know, universal knowledge. It's just not true. The conclusion he comes to in the end is that someone who has real life-threatening, you know, contagion, then definitely you can't go. You can't go, and you shouldn't go. And if you're a doctor, you shouldn't treat them. Somebody who has significant disease, and you might pick up the thing. So he says, then you have to ask, is there a real likelihood you're going to pick it up? Is it a real risk? Or is it just a kind of more theoretical risk and more of a lower probability risk? And he goes through the different categories as to what it is. There definitely is an idea that with people who are not radically contagious, the schus of the mitzvah of bikochayim is an important point and therefore could give someone a hatzolah when they go and visit, and that's definitely to be taken into consideration. Usually speaking, today the hospitals won't let you visit people who are very, very contagious. They will put them in some kind of sort of solitary confinement. It's not called that. What's it called? It's called something else. Yeah, it's like quarantine, something like that. Fine. Number 29, but I recommend you to read number 28 because it's a very interesting analysis of different levels of contagion and how he deals with that. Interesting, men and women. The Shulchan Aruch brings down the Choli Me'ayin, somebody who has a stomach illness. Ein ha'ish meshamesh es ha'isha. A male should not be a nurse for a woman. Aval ha'ish meshamesh es ha'ish, but a woman can be a nurse for a man. He's not suggesting anywhere that there's a halacha, men cannot visit women and men can't visit men. There is no such halacha. But he is saying that there has to be a sensitivity to questions of sneers. If somebody has a disease where they're going to need a lot of physical help in and out of the bathroom, then he says a man should not be doing that for a woman. A woman nurse, it's different psychology between women and men, etc. Woman can do it for a man. But again, it's something which has to be borne in mind in situations where people are not going to be dressed properly. Are you going to make them feel comfortable? At the end of the day, this mitzvah is to make the person feel better. Are they just going to feel more embarrassed, etc., etc.?
Is that partially because, like, nurses are sort of categorically female?
Dafka. I mean, I think that this halacha understands that there can be such a thing as a male nurse. In the old days, you didn't have a professional nursing sort of.
You had
people who looked after people, and sometimes they were men that looked after people, sometimes they were women that looked after people. There is definitely an idea in halacha that someone who is a professional. There are different halachas when it comes to things like shomer negiah. You know, there are no problems of shomer negiah for a male doctor to touch a woman, or a woman doctor or a woman nurse to touch a man, because there is an understanding of a professional relationship between them. The question as to how far that goes and under what circumstances. And there are also interesting questions as to what professions. Does that include a lifeguard? Does that include a hairdresser? Or does that only include sort of a medical? What about physiotherapy? Can you go to physiotherapy with like male people sort of bending your arms and legs around? Is that called? It's a whole interesting shaila as to how far that goes. It'll depend on the need, it'll depend on the circumstances and how professional the relationship is. Have a look finally on page 5, in the last 5 minutes. Let's do a few other interesting halachas. The Gemara says, "Mefarnesim ani nochrim im ani Yisrael." We do not discriminate when it comes to non-Jewish sick people. We treat them as well. "Mevakrim choyli nochrim." We give tzedakah to non-Jews. We go visit them in hospital. Why? "Mipnei darchi shalom." Even though, of course, the mitzvah ve'hatzar reishit kamocha is a mitzvah between Jews and Jews. Although there is a debate whether it may include non-Jews. At the end of the day, if we discriminate against non-Jewish people, not only is that going to be upsetting for them, but it's more, perhaps pointedly, going to lead to some long-term serious danger to the Jewish community, and therefore we do not do that, make that discrimination. Number 31, Mevakrim choyli obdi kachavim, says the Shulchan Aruch, you do go visit non-Jewish people who are sick, mipnei darchi shalom. I actually got this shayla myself. A group of girls from a seminar I was teaching at were going to give out teddy bears in the hospital. I don't know when it was, Hanukkah, or whenever they do that. And they say, we go and there are Arab little babies in the hospital. Should we give them teddy bears or should we not give them teddy bears? It seems to be posher that, of course, they should give them teddy bears. If you can do it room by room in a way which is not going to cause darkish shalom issues, for sure. But they said, I don't want to give teddy bears to these people. And the answer is, that's not the right attitude. That's not. First of all, this kid's 5 years old. What does he know?
Yeah.
If everybody else gets a teddy bear, he's going to get a teddy bear.
And
second of all,
like a nice Jewish girl gives them a teddy bear.
That's exactly the mitzvah of Darchei Shalom. Who knows this kid's going to grow up and he's going to feel a sense of gratitude towards Jewish people? Because when he was a kid in the hospital, I just told you, when I was in the hospital, I remember people who did things for me. So this kid's going to do that. Who knows what he's going to not do when he's grown up because of that mitzvah, because of that chesed. Therefore, this is a very important point which is not to be overlooked. Yeah.
So the only reason we would visit a guy and a sick is because we want Darchei Shalom?
No, the only reason we would have a... I know what you're asking. You're asking from a humanist perspective.
Yeah.
You're right. You're 100% right. We're asking mitzvah the chiyuv and we're asking mitzvah the mitzvah. Now, obviously nobody suggests that it's a bad thing to go and visit a non-Jewish person in a hospital. No one suggests that. We're not asking that. We don't turn around to non-Jewish people and say, well, we don't care if you're sick. Of course we don't say that. The only question we're asking is, when I'm weighing up different obligations, and Bikur Cholim is one of them, should I be dropping other things to go and visit non-Jewish people in a hospital, and thereby not doing other things? It's a question of priorities. If it's Jewish people, there's a mitzvah. So he's saying if it's non-Jewish people, there's also a mitzvah, but for a different reason.
Right, but why can't the reason also be something like the Tzel Melokim?
Who says it's not? Who says it's not?
Because it doesn't say it.
Fine, but he is dealing with the obligation. He's dealing with, do I have a chiyuv to go with this person? So the answer is going to be that if you're
saying the chiyuv is only based on the fact that we're looking out for ourselves.
No, the chiyuv is based on the fact that it's all coming from v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. This is a mitzvah which applies between Jews and Jews. No one questions the fact that it's ethical and moral to do things for non-Jews as well. The question is, though, is it a chiyuv? Do I have an obligation? I'll give you another example, which is often one that gets people wound up. If I see somebody drowning in the river, do I have an obligation to jump in and save them? So, in American law, in English law, the answer to that is very clear. The answer is no, I don't. I have no civil law obligation to save them. If I do, that's a very wonderful moral thing. Obviously, maybe if I'm a lifeguard, I do have an obligation to save them. It's my job. But if I'm just a passerby, I have no one can take me to court for that. Of course, if I save them, that's a great thing. In halacha, no, that's not what the Good Samaritan law is. The Good Samaritan law, it says that if I do jump in to try and save them, which I didn't have to, and in the process of so doing I kill them, then they will allow me, they will let me off in court because I was trying to save them and it wasn't my fault. That's the Good Samaritan law. The Good Samaritan law doesn't say that you have an obligation to jump in and save people. The Hefach, it says that you don't, but if you did and you killed them, then maybe we'll look at it more leniently. In halacha, that's not the case. If you see someone drowning in the river, then you have an obligation to jump in and save them, if they're Jewish. In other words, if they're not Jewish, halacha says exactly the same thing as American law and English law, which is, it's a moral thing, it's an ethical thing, it's a wonderful thing, but we're not going to oblige you. In that sense, halacha is no different from anything else, except that when it comes to Jews, you can't just walk by.
But what if you don't know? I mean, the person's drowning. You can't be like, excuse me, Jew, non-Jew.
Please give me your two dat yahadut. No, obviously. And again,
are you sure? If your mother was Jewish, it wasn't your father.
I mean, well, actually, pretty much, just to do it anyway.
But again, don't get the wrong end of the stick on this. Everyone agrees that it's a mitzvah. It's a moral, ethical, superior thing to save any human being from drowning. Unless maybe they're like a rosher, there's some kind of whatever. Okay. That's different. Apikosim, I'm not dealing with that. A normal human being. The only question I'm asking is not is it a good thing, but is it an obligatory thing? And
I just have to say, like, you have to keep Shabbos.
I feel like it's obligated in things that we wouldn't normally feel that we would do on our own. The reason we get mitzvahs between the Torah are the ones that would be hard for us to necessarily push ourselves to do. That's
it's not so easy.
If you don't mitzvah for something, it's because it should be natural to you. Which is why men have mitzvahs to do things that aren't necessarily
natural. It's like there's a mitzvah to not kill people. It's not hard for me to not kill people.
But the positive mitzvahs, I'm saying. So, in this case, it would seem like you should have more an obligation to help. Like, for instance, you're supposed to help your enemy before you help your friend. That kind
correct.
Of thing. So,
correct.
Well, shouldn't we get a push to help you? We wouldn't naturally feel this inclination to help just because of the fact that they're people.
But in fact, that you're talking now means that because we live in the Western world where everybody is explicitly correct. You know, we don't differentiate between black and white or the next.
What do you differentiate?
No, but I'm saying, like, nowadays, it's not at all politically correct to say, well, they're lower class, they're upper class. We don't have separation at all. What we're saying is, and even to the extent that we don't have separation between Jews and non-Jews. We, so much so that intermarriage and assimilation is so huge because
that's
of that.
Extreme,
no,
it's
not
very naive.
I think
it's not like, oh,
no.
Marriage.
That's again.
Like a death is about to happen, and it's a ceremony.
Well, what happens if you
soul.
Don't have to swim? Are you supposed to try and save them anyway?
No, but even for a Jewish person, you're not allowed
to
save them.
What?
Try and save a Jew either?
Everyone agrees that if you have the ability to save somebody, it's a wonderful thing to save them. Nobody's questioning that. The only question is whether you have an obligation. And in that sense, we don't have to be embarrassed about being politically incorrect, because we're not. We're being as politically correct as everyone else in the world that says that you don't have an obligation to jump in the river and save people. We're just saying, well, we agree. Except the Jews are family, and that's different. Because family is different. Just like it's not immoral to lend people money and charge interest. It's not immoral. It's called business. I lend you my house, I charge you rent. I lend you my money, so I charge you interest. But it is immoral to charge your mum interest when she lends you $1,000. Or you lend her $1,000, rather. That is immoral. And therefore, I treat non-Jewish people in exactly the same ethical, fair, and moral way that I treat everybody else. But Jewish people are my family. They're my brothers and sisters. I can't treat them the same way. If you walk past some stranger and you see them drowning, then okay, that's not great, but it's not like he's low. You're not a Rosha. If you walk past your brother and you see them drowning, that's different. So I think that's where it's coming from. In the last few minutes of the class, maybe I'll just mention some of these things. There is a mitzvah to do Bikur Cholim on Shabbos. You're not exempt because of Shabbos. There are special things you say on Shabbos. Shabbos Mila Izoik. You say when you visit people of Shalema, you say, well, it's Shabbos, we're not going to cry out. And we don't cry out in public on Shabbos for people unless they are seriously ill. If there's someone who is a mamash cholim sheyesh bahem sakana, people who are seriously ill, we do make say tehillim. I remember many times, unfortunately, when there were bombs that went off in Eretz Yisrael on Friday afternoon during the Intifada and things, so there were tehillim on Shabbos for people. That is completely correct. When people are in life-threatening danger, the Misha Berach we say on Shabbos is very carefully worded that it says Shabbos mi le'izok, we don't cry out on Shabbos, but we hope this person gets refuah shleima. For someone who's, God forbid, in a life-threatening situation, we don't have to mess around with that. We just go straight into it and we say tehillim. The last few things, very interesting halacha is number 35, the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, that if a person is very, very sensitive and in a very life-threatening situation, we don't tell them news which would potentially upset them and cause them to be even more sick. We see this as lamaisa. We see this. There was a case in London of a very well-known Rav who himself was very sick. He was having treatment in hospital, and his wife very suddenly died. And the children were sitting shiva for the mother, but did not tell the father. And they were sort of getting out of their shiva clothes and shaving every time they went to the hospital, and then getting back into their shiva clothes when they were going back home, not telling the husband that the wife had unfortunately died. This is a lo'aleinu, but this is a halacha. People do have situations where this can almost kill them to get news like that. Someone who, in number 36, halachim bikur chaylim, someone who is very seriously ill, should sensitively be encouraged to put their affairs in order. There are ways that you can say it, which they won't feel as though, well, I'm about to die. On the other hand, people who really are in serious illnesses get a lot of nachas ruach from getting their life in order, from sorting out their finances. And you might say, well, who cares about finance when people are not? No, that's not the way people don't want to leave a mess for their family. People want to, you know, leave behind order, and that also goes on to vidui and the ideas of helping people to do vidui, which I'm not going to get into now because I haven't got time. But you know, the last point I want to make in number 38. The Gemara speaks and says, "Kol hamavaker es achayle nitzul midira shal gehenim." People who go make an effort to do bikur chaylim, there are all sorts of very important hatsolas that they get. It mentions they're saved from gehenim, and they get stuff in this world as well. Bikur chaylim is a mitzvah, and you said before the Torah is there to do mitzvahs that people don't already want to do. Well, most people don't want to get up and go to the hospital and visit sick people because they're busy, it's a pain, it's not nice, it's depressing, and therefore, in that sense, like the Torah is saying, get up, go and visit people in the hospital, and Be'ezrat Hashem, people should be well, but if people are sick, there's lots of opportunities to help them, and in so doing, achieve great spiritual growth as well. Next week, we will do something else. I haven't quite decided exactly what we do, maybe Nicham Avelim, but for now, we will leave it there, and have a wonderful week. I wish you all a good week.